Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're glad you're so back with us. We're continuing Tara's study on making disciples. And the last time, last week, we talked about Peter. And when he recognized Jesus' divine authority and power, he just dropped to his knees. Mm. And we're asking, like, have you ever dropped to your knees because of Jesus?
Mm.
And what was Jesus' response to you when that happened?
Mm. Oh, Sandy, those questions are so sobering, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Because it makes you really remember the times you've been dropped to your knees.
I know.
Many.
And so to help people that haven't heard where we've been for the last few weeks, you have to go back and listen. We had Janelle share on March 23rd the Bible story, and we had Haley share on March 30th the Bible story. And so you guys have to go back and hear our Grace Women as they've told it. and in order for you to know where we're at, for those that may are clicking in for the first time, this is at the time, they believe that this is probably the third time that Jesus does an actual call to the disciples to get them to follow him. And he had been in a solitary place praying, and the people were coming out and just begging him to stay and to teach. And that's where the Bible passage falls in Luke 5, 1 through 11. And as Jesus was standing at the edge of the lake, the crowds were pressing in, and they wanted him to teach. So he continued teaching. Well, he realized he needed to get further out so they could carry his voice. And he got into Peter's boat and went to the edge of water. And as he was on the edge of the water, he had compassion and continued teaching. When he was done, he told Simon Peter, take us out to the deep end. So they went out to the deep end, and he said, cast your nets. And Simon's like, Master, we fished all night. We didn't catch anything. But because you ask, I will. And he cast the nets. And as he started to draw them in, the nets started to break. So he looked over at the other boat with fishermen, and he said, hey, come help us. And they came, and as they were hauling it in, it literally, their boats were about to sink. And at this point, Peter fell on his knees, and he cried out, Lord, get away from me, for I am a sinful man. Even James and John, the other disciples, were astonished. And Peter looked at him, and he said, do not be afraid, for I am going to make you fishers of men. Come, follow me. And they left their nets, and they followed him. Mm. So today, as we ponder this passage, I want us to be thinking about that moment when Peter realized, oh my goodness, look what he's done. It's huge. He has filled our boats, not just my boat, but their boat, to overflowing. In the middle of the day, when fish don't jump into nets, and apparently, but when Jesus says, cast your net, the fish jump into the net. Mm-hmm. And he's on his knees, and he realizes he's God. It's at that moment he realizes he is holy God, and I am sinful man. And he falls down, and he realized that moment of, oh my goodness, I have been struck by God. And so I want us to be thinking about those moments when we have been brought to our knees, when we have been just dropped by God, as Peter was dropped. What is it that we heard from God? What is it that we saw? What was the divine revelation we realized about his holiness? And how is it that that drew us into his presence?
I think there's one thing even to talk about, to preface it, is that Peter had been, they'd been working hard, trying in their flesh to do the very trade that they thought that they could do, and had nothing. Mm-hmm. They were empty-handed.
I love it. That's good, Tanya.
So I think then the realization of, oh my gosh, when I stop doing it my way, in my common sense flesh form, and give it to the Lord, and he shows up like that, there's, I mean, we all just fall to our knees, I think, in the comfort either that he gives in the moment, or the peace in the moment, or...
It's a beautiful thing when we stop the flesh. Mm-hmm. And I know as my ministry has increased, I wake up in the mornings, some mornings, and I think, Lord, this is what is full of today. In the flesh, I can list out all that must be done or accomplished because of expectations that I have to meet. And I came to a point where literally before I step out of bed, it wasn't just, Lord, I give you this day. It's literally, I will say in my heart before I hit the floor, I bow before you. I'm not just down. I'm bowing. I am flat on my face. I know I cannot do anything apart from you. Mm-hmm. And so I've just been making it a habit that when I'm in my bed before I get up, God, I bow. I bow before you because I don't want to even attempt it. I still will try to stand up when I should not.
No.
And then I'm reminded I'm so much in my flesh, and then I'm flat then on my knees again mm-hmm. before him. Because when we are pressing towards something and it's not of God, we have what happened to them. Mm-hmm. Tanya nailed that so well. You fish all night and you drew in nothing. Mm-hmm. But when we are willing to bow, we get. So what do you guys think? How have you been brought to your knees? How has God been working? How does this make you feel, this passage? Is there something you're struggling with? Or is there something about it that makes you want to celebrate?
Well, I think it always is a struggle, then you celebrate. You know, there's that struggle, you drop, he picks you back up, and you celebrate. But when you were talking about flat on the face, I do remember a time where I was flat on my face, and that was when Steve was so sick, and he had cancer, and I just had my cancer. And just, I just got as low to the ground as I could, just because I needed help. Mm. I needed to get back up and take care of him, and God always shows up. He always shows up and helps you.
I love how he meets us there. And the first time I had never seen this before, but I have two moments that were like profound moments in my life where I observed it in somebody, and it was they weren't trying to teach me a lesson; they were just dealing mm-hmm. with life. And I was on church staff at Houston's First Baptist in Texas, and Marian Janes, my preschool minister at the time, she was kind of my Paul, and I was her Timothy. Mm-hmm. And she had a huge ministry. I mean, her staff alone was like 150 people
wow.
that she coordinated. So that tells you, I mean, a couple of thousand kids that she was in charge of. And I was just one of her coordinators. She had many coordinators. And I was in the office making phone calls. And for whatever reason, she was just broken. She was just so broken. And she came into my office, and she opened the door, shut the door, and I didn't have windows or anything, so nobody could see us. And she laid down prostrate in the room on her face, and she just said, Tara, I can't do it. I just can't do it. And she's like, I need Jesus. Can you just pray? And I had never in my life seen somebody get flat before the Lord like that. And, I mean, to this day, it makes me have tears in my eyes as I remember that moment thinking, God, that's incredible humility.
Yeah.
And prayed with her. And of course, she did do it. And she did it for many years in an amazing way and impacted many, many families. And so I was blown by that. I had another time, which was another staff member at church. And we were all in Glorietta at a training. And I was the youngest by 15 years when I was on staff there. And in this particular circumstance, they were ribbing me pretty hard because I was the person that was, help, I'm talking and I can't shut up. They said they were going to buy me a T-shirt that said that on staff. I was like having a puppy amongst seriously mature people, and I was just yappy all over the place with them. And what ended up, I was the only one that had a credit card. I don't know why, but all the women, it was in their husbands' names. They weren't the main holder, even though their name was on it. Mm-hmm. And so the credit card companies would not allow them to be the one to drive the rental car. And so here, they had to surrender to me, the yappy puppy.
The puppy.
And I was the one that had to drive everyone everywhere when we were at this training in Glorietta in New Mexico. And they were really, like, ready to, like, throw me over the cliff. And one night at the conference, we had all gone back to our rooms, and Janet came into my room, and she sat down on the bed, and I'm thinking, what is wrong? And she said, Tara, I need to tell you something. And she goes, through this week, God has convicted me that we have been wrong. We have teased you, harangued you, harassed you, you know, whatever. And I didn't think anything of it. I was 15 years younger, I thought that was their way of showing me love. But I don't know. And she goes, but God has convicted me that I have sinned against you. Mm-hmm. And I have come to tell you I am sorry. And I wanted to ask you, will you please forgive me?
Forgiveness.
Those were like two teachable moments where I saw somebody get flat on their face where I thought, God, I want to be like that. I want to be where I can't do it. It's only you, God. Right. And that when I sin, that I go and say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Mm-hmm. Those are both moments where someone's brought to their knees, both for a different reason. One, not because of sin, because of circumstance. The other one, because it was her heart that she felt she had sinned. In my heart, she did not. Mm-hmm. We all have moments where we need to be there. But how did Jesus respond to Peter? What did he do?
Said, do not be afraid.
Do not be afraid. So.
And that's what he says.
Mm-hmm. To us. Mm-hmm. What about to somebody that comes to us and shares something that they've done, they've sinned? What does our answer need to be?
Same thing.
Yeah. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Jesus says, I will make you a fisher of men. He didn't point out Peter's sin. He didn't point out his past. He didn't point out that he had fished all night in the flesh. Mm-mm. He didn't point out any of that. He said, I will make you a fisher of men.
I will pick you up.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have any buts.
No. No. I love that too, Shelley. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that great? There's a lot of, we have a lot of those.
Because I know, that's what I was just thinking. I'm like, we might, you know, in that whole forgiveness thing, there's how many times we're like, there's always a but behind it, or, you know, how...
But what about me? Yeah. That's my but. Yeah. I don't know about y'all, but that's it's always, what about
me? But
they
did it first.
Yeah.
Or I'll forgive you if, or...
Yeah,
you know.
A lot of ifs, too. If, ands, and buts. You know? They are all over the Bible, but...
It's okay when God says it. It's not okay when we say it.
Right. Yeah. I think this is such a... this is just a picture of our walk with the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's not like we're ever going to be perfect.
No. Mm-hmm.
And there's probably many times a day that I'm brought, you know, that I'm convicted and and we have to just settle it and be reminded. I mean, I love this story because he does say, don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Peter, he's raising him up to be the leader of these people, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not like David was perfect and he was raised up to be a king, leader of the people, but it's the heart behind it. And in the moment, what are we going to do? Remain stubborn or, oh, Lord, I am a sinful person. Yeah.
And that's great, too, because what I was thinking while you were saying that was just kind of like, that's kind of where we always should be, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe not feeling, I mean, there is a sense where we should fear God as, you know, respect and recognize his holiness and how he is so great in comparison and always, you know, understanding that, but also just always being on our knees, always prostrate before the Lord, because that is where, you know, we should be, and that's when he'll use you, is when you're so open and you're like, you're in charge, and I'm like, you know, recognizing we are nothing without God. And like, that hits me all the time, where I just realize, I'm like, I want to do this on my own, I want to help this person, I want to do something really great, and I'm like, you know what, I may want it until the sun comes up, but
right,
you know, no matter what, it's not going to happen unless, you know, I'm doing it for God, because of God, and with him, you know, in me, and just, you know, being there.
That's awesome. Now, I want you to think about it. So, Jesus said, do not be afraid. I will make you fishers of men. And he is revealing, I have a plan. I have a purpose for you. Right. Get up. And as I was praying through this morning, I thought, God, it's the influence of obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Obedience has an effect. It has influence. In that moment, it was in obedience. He got to his knees because he needed to hear as Jesus was calling him out. And so what was the influence of his obedience? Think about the other disciples. We are told James and John were astonished.
They were astonished also.
Mm-hmm. And so... let's think through the influence of obedience when we do get on our knees.
Mm-hmm. I think that on the flip side of Peter's do not be afraid is an active side on the other side. Instead of being afraid, you need to trust.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's been absolutely huge for me, especially this past year, is a shift in perspective of understanding that God is in control, and that his plan for my life, my plan doesn't matter whatsoever. It's his plan that's going to happen anyway. Mm-hmm. And so when I say, okay, God, I'm giving you options here. You can do this or this, whichever you want to do, just tell me and I'll go with it and glorify you, whatever, it'll be cool. He says, you know what? No, I'm not going to deal with your options or on your terms. My ways aren't your ways. And you need to trust me that I'm going to work this out for you. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be the best for my glory. And I think that Peter surrendering himself to Jesus and saying that I'm unworthy is a fashion of him saying, I'm going to trust you. Mm-hmm. And whatever it is that you have, you're greater.
Amen.
And so your perspective is what I'm going to trust.
You're exactly right. And you know what, Janelle? I love how the Holy Spirit spoke through you, because that is what I had written down, is that it leads us into. That is what the influence is.
Right.
The influence of obedience is it leads us into a faith walk,
mm-hmm.
a trust walk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we see many coming mm-hmm. through and mm-hmm. having change. It's not just about us and the effect of that change on us, but it's about those around us, which is then taking us to mm-hmm. the next generation, what we talked about, I think like the first or second mm-hmm. week. It's the generational influence.
Mm-hmm.
It's never about just our change. It's about the change of those that will follow.
Well, and they watched him. They witnessed him dropping to his knees.
Yeah, and I kind of actually went there with that, too, as just, like, you know, it's talking about Peter dropping on his knees, and then I was just kind of thinking about James and John. Mm-hmm. Like, it just makes you wonder, like, how, like, you've got to keep in mind, you're always being watched and mm-hmm. seen. People are always around. So it's not like, I'm going to do this one really good thing.
No.
It's like, I should always, like, and that's kind of what I was thinking with the prostrate thing and, like, always trusting, like, with what you were saying is just, like, that's where we should always be, because mm-hmm. there's always something somebody mm-hmm. watching, so they're gonna, you know, there's always somebody seeing everything that you do.
Mm.
And you know, so when they see you always trusting in the Lord, they get this accurate view of where you should be and what you should be doing.
You're exactly right. And wise words I heard once my friend Tanya say, and that she said that now that you have heard, you have the responsibility to give the grace and to forgive and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never forgotten those words. I can't tell you how many times, Tanya, in my life, I have repeated those words over and over. Now that I have heard, I need to be sure that I am the one that gives the grace and forgiveness that God gives, because that's what he did for us.
Right.
It's what he did for Peter that day, and that's what he did for me in my own sinfulness. And so we can trust that as he reached out to Peter and said, do not be afraid, I will make you a fisherman, we can trust that he'll do the same for us. We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. We thank God for Janelle and Haley joining us on the radio show, and we'll just see you next time. God bless.